Well, with the final demise of the brand name Holden, many of us have indulged in just a little nostalgia. But Dot, what do we make these days in Australia? What should Australia make? One prominent watcher of our manufacturing angst is cautioning we can't build a future just on making piccolo lattes and selling financial derivatives or flogging property. But what is it that would rival the heady days of car making here? Alex Tai reports.
Ahmed works at the Fine Shine Car Wash in Sydney's Zetland. He sees a lot of cars all day, every day, but he has eyes only for one brand.
I get Holdens here all the time, and the first thing I ask them is, do you want to sell it? And they're all like, nah, don't want to sell it.
Do you love washing Holdens when they come in?
It's the favourite car that comes in for me. We get all supercars, Ferraris, Lamborghinis, McLarens, but when a Maloo or a GTR or something, or GTS comes in, a Holden, yeah, my heart starts pumping. I'm in love with them.
Ahmed heard the news of Holden's closure on his car radio. But in a sign of perhaps why the company went under, Ahmed wasn't driving a Holden. They're too expensive. Roy Green is an emeritus professor at UTS and the chair of the Advanced Robotics for Manufacturing Hub. He says governments could have slowed the decline of the auto industry, but not prevented it.
I think successive governments have failed. This one has cried some crocodile tears, but it should have understood that this was inevitable. It was following the closure of manufacturing in 2016-17. That wasn't completely inevitable. That could have been avoided, but to what end would it have been avoided? Could we have repositioned Australian car assembly in the context of these global giants? I really doubt it.
There's still the nub of a car industry in Australia. Today, Holden's historical rival Ford announced it's hiring and might be able to absorb some of the Holden workers who will be losing their jobs. Industry Minister Karen Andrews says she received assurances from Ford that they were committed to the Australian market for now. But what about other Australian manufacturers? Professor Roy Green says it's a race to the top. He sees future success for Australian manufacturing in high-quality goods like medical technology, mining equipment products, robotics and quantum computing.
The companies that are succeeding are investing in above-average levels of R&D. They're also investing in new business models, and they're basing their competitive advantage not just on cost, but on quality, design and innovation.
One example of a successful Australian business is Rode Microphones.
Exporting something like 60,000 microphones a month, entirely manufactured in Australia.
I didn't know that Rode was an Australian company.
Well, many people don't. When they see the name, they think, oh, is that Danish or German or American?
Manufacturing counts for just 6% of Australia's GDP, and some have questioned whether Australia even needs a manufacturing sector. A question Professor Green strongly rejects.
Some people think we can survive by selling each other piccolo lattes, residential housing and financial derivatives, but that doesn't look good in the context of an export mix which is heavily weighted towards the export of unprocessed raw materials. And as we see declines in some of those export markets, we'll need to replace the value lost by something else.
He says it's up to the federal and state governments to identify competitive industries and support them.
There's no point in cutting back the R&D tax incentive if it isn't replaced by anything else. And in most advanced countries, the emphasis of industry policy is on direct targeted funds, not so much on tax incentives.
Meanwhile, Ahmed is still looking to buy a Holden, if only as a keepsake.
And anyone who's got a Holden should sit on their Holden, just park it in the garage. Don't get rid of it.
Ahmed from Fine Shine Car Wash speaking with Alex Tai.